welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation, brought to you by Basket. Never again pay for groceries. Never overpay for groceries again. Download the latest app by going to basket.com and join the next revolution. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I don't think that's the right copy line for Basket. I don't think the idea is that you never pay for groceries again. That's a crime.
I think that's
against the law.
I think I just lost our sponsorship on the first go.
Yeah. Way to go.
So much for being professional.
We finally monetized this podcast after all these years. And there you go, just throwing it out the window right away.
I'm just
reading
the copy.
Encouraging people to commit a felony.
I'm just reading the copy. Blame the editor.
Well, I am doing well.
Good.
Besides you disparaging my brother's hard work.
I corrected it. We're going to edit it right back into what it needs to be. It'll be fine. I'm a freaking wizard.
Great.
Over here, okay?
Now, how are you feeling after your week 7 exploits with one of the worst beats in fantasy football history?
I mean...
Except for this time, you were on the divvying end as opposed to the receiving end of that beat, as you typically are on a Monday night.
You know my Monday night football history.
Oh, it's well documented.
It is beyond a couple of data points. It is a trend line that is established and statistically significant. And you know the what you said about pandering last time we were on the air really stuck with me about the heart of hearts. You know that concept has been with me for a good while. And in my heart of hearts on Monday night, I thought I was toast.
Yep.
I thought I was absolutely toast. If some people might call that a concession of defeat, I call that realistic. However, I think I said it all in the post game press conference, but I was just really, really amazed because it was a fluke win. It was a fluke win that shouldn't have been. I should have been crying all the way home all night because of the fact that I would have lost by less than 3, which is what it was set up to do with the big pass to Sterling Shepard, put me within 1, and I thought that was going to be it, and I was going to lose by the difference of my subpar defense, and then a little dump over the top in the last play of the game, and that was that. I could not believe it. So I'm high on a kite right now, or high as a kite right now, and... I did not smoke a kite. I am high as a kite right now. And just professional here at TNR. A couple weeks out of practice, and this is what happens. But
I'm happy for you. You got a lot of bad karma from bad Monday night beats in the past, and it all came back like a flood this week, catching up to you. So happy for you.
Yep.
Not so happy for our guest this evening with the state of his fantasy team, but we are here to get into all the juicy details and mourn with and comfort our compadres. So welcoming to the show, my big brother, elder statesman of the league, Andy Elwood.
Hey guys, how are you?
Welcome, Andy.
Doing great. Live this evening from Santa Monica, California, sitting by a fire pit. And the setting is it's just such a complete and total utter opposite of my team that it feels appropriate to discuss the very sad state of affairs of my team in this very joyous setting that I find myself in. So thanks for looping me in. I appreciate this because, it definitely is one of those like comfort those that need comforting type of times in my life.
We're glad to give it to you. Now, I'm confused though. Being in Santa Monica, I would imagine you'd have a lot of depressed Dodgers fans surrounding you right now. So wouldn't misery in fact be loving company?
So I'm at the Viceroy Hotel and no one here knows that the Dodgers lost.
Okay.
They're whining and dining themselves into oblivion because they live in Los Angeles, which I wouldn't ever wish on anyone. And the Dodgers are on the other side of town. So,
all right,
a couple of good football teams in Los Angeles this year with both the Rams and the Chargers, sitting high atop the conference, getting some good vibes, picking up some scouting reports and tips from them while you're out there.
Feeling a little bit weird about my dropping Jared Goff, or at least not going more aggressively after him, because he was kind of like my target quarterback, but I was doing my best to be the last person in the league while in Norway to pick a quarterback, and it didn't work out. It hasn't really worked out, like a lot of things, including my keeper, some injuries, you know, just the in general. This season, it looks like I'm not trying, but I actually am, which is even more sad.
Yeah, so, I mean, you started the season with a win. Beat Scott.
The win. Yeah.
The win.
The win. 129 points. It was the high watermark for your season in both points scored, and then it's been followed in rapid succession by six consecutive losses. So just, from your perspective, what's happened? Was it, what happened in the draft? Did you feel good about the draft coming out of the draft? Where has things gone wrong?
Yeah. So I think, there's a saying, no half measures.
Right.
And this year, for the first year after listening to this podcast, catching some banter on the chat room, the course of learning fantasy, I always heard people say, well, my strategy going into draft day was this. I've never had a strategy going into draft day before. I just kind of looked at stuff and was like, yeah, that looks good. I'll pay that for that guy. And so this year, I actually went in and said, here's how much I'm going to allocate for wide receivers. Here's how much I'm going to allocate for running backs, quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought that I was going to stick to it. But when it came time to spend $1 more to get Antonio Brown, I blocked. And when it came time to spend $1 more to get Keenan Allen, I blocked. And in both situations, because my game plan was load up big on wide receivers and then stream running backs. It felt like that this was a season to kind of go that angle. And Charles walks in, fresh off his like bat mitzvah, welcoming him to the league, as if his balls were made of gold, and just swipes him, and then Jared swipes Keenan Allen, and I'm left with Julio Jones and some decent wide receivers, but not ones that you can build an entire team around. So felt the need to do what I could with Julio Jones, which Carlos Hyde was feeling really good when he was not on the Jaguars. Now he's on the Jaguars playing second or third fiddle to somebody else. So really I traded Julio Jones for Julian Edelman. Edelman's doing what I thought he would do, but the trade was Edelman and Hyde doing what I thought they would do to give me at least a consistent 25, 30 points a week. And I don't think that's gonna play out very well. So congrats, Ben. Even if Julio Jones continues to suck and not get touchdowns, you're still going to end up winning that trade. And it's just it's a misfortunate thing.
Yeah, it could have been better for you. You could have traded for Edelman and Jay Ajayi. Who is now out for the season.
That was one of Ben's original offers.
Option on the table as well. Yeah, I think your draft strategy wasn't bad, and I think even the execution wasn't bad. It's just the players haven't worked out. Like Julio Jones, I really wanted him. I thought that was a really good pick, even paying that much. I mean, he's going to lead the league in receiving yards this year and just never score a touchdown. Right. which would be a feat unto itself. And like Doug Baldwin got hurt. Allen Robinson is kind of been hurt and just inconsistent. Even though he seems to be the most consistent wide receiver there in Chicago, it's just the quarterback's having trouble getting the ball in his hands a whole lot. So I think there was certainly a path to a parallel universe where your season looks very different than it does today.
And also Dalvin Cook as my keeper, I felt like, you guys said it in the preseason, that he's keeping him for 29 is not a tremendous amount of value. I think he probably would have gone for 40 if he'd been on the market, maybe.
Fair.
So, but then, you know, he continues to struggle with the, you know, his ankle injury. So I felt like, you know, having a workhorse there and then streaming my RB2 was not a horrible play if I had my wide receiver taken care of.
Yeah.
And that just, it hasn't played out that way. So it's, you know, it's interesting to have a strategy and actually know what I did or did not do well, as opposed to just, well, I guess we'll try again next season.
Yeah.
But, you know, but in reflection, you know, it has been a little bit of, not, you know, the players have not lived up to the way that I drafted them.
That is very true. And you can actually telling just based on week one for you in that, week one, your score base, was, you know, not, it was your highest score of the year. It wasn't a huge score. It was 129. And like we said, that was your win, but that was the week where Julio Jones performed as we would have expected him to perform for the rest of the season. He had 169 yards across 10 receptions. He put up 28 points for you. Jared Cook, as your tight end, started off as the number one tight end of the week that week. Isaiah Crowell, who was on your bench that day, put up 24 points. Randall Cobb, as a wide, put up 29 points. You had, like, stellar options, like a couple of start sit decisions after week one, and we would think, okay, right, Andy's going to be a formidable team throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But week two and beyond just wasn't there.
Well, and that's kind of the, you know, the challenge is each week I look at my players and I'm like I don't hate this team,
right?
Like I really don't. I just hate their current performance, and the way that they play every week. But you know, each week, I mean, every week I have gone in with a little, like, an actual bit of optimism. Like, I'm not rolling over being like, well, that's it, you know, season's done. Like, I, you know, I mean, even the trade that I made with Chris, you know, OJ Howard, you know, pulled him up off waivers. I knew Dalvin Cook was, you know, probably going to sit again. So, you know, kind of, you know, got myself stacked there. So now that I've, you know, now I've got Murray to back him up. And then, you know, as of today, it looks like Cook's going to sit again this weekend. So Murray's maybe makes it into the lineup. But, you know, it's, you know, so I, you know, there's options there as to what, you know, I could or could not pull off. But, you know, it's, you know, each week I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, I could win this week. And then everybody under, especially the running backs, you know, I mean, like if you go back, I think the past 3 weeks in total, my two running backs over 3 weeks have totaled 40 points.
Yeah.
Like the people that are in RB1, RB2. Yeah.
Right.
And like, you just can't win games if your running backs aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially this season. That's right.
That is an excellent point. Well, you don't have so much optimism going into this week, unfortunately. You're going up against Jared, who has the opposite record as you. He's won six in a row. He is consistently the highest projected point total of the week. You know, up there and scoring the most points on the season. So you're an overwhelming underdog this week, and don't get your hopes up too high. I'm just, you know, trying to help you as much as I can.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, and you know, there's the old adage, and I forget who first said this, but the only thing worse than losing is losing to Jared.
Yeah, been saying it for years.
I'm familiar with that one.
Been saying it for years. Yep. Well, Andy, your win-loss record being what it is, looking at your average scores across the past 6 weeks, it's been around 100 points or so, with the exception of week four, where you put up 125 points. You lost by 10 or so to Chris Clark, being Chewy. And even then, you know, not a high-scoring week for you compared to the rest of the league. That was one of our highest-scoring weeks of fantasy football history for this league. But you still would have beaten another three of our league managers that week. And so, you know, you chalk that one up to a scheduling, you know, plus minus kind of situation there. But for the rest of it, you've been kind of trucking along. Looking at the remainder of your schedule, you kind of go on again, off again every other week in terms of based on the current power rankings. You got Jared this week, but then you face Scott, but then you got to come hit Ben, but then you hit Charles, and then Derek is the wild card, as he has great points, but his schedule hasn't necessarily helped him out. And
sure,
then you finish with Michael Fitzsimmons, who's 2-5. And so you kind of have this teeter-totter for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, well, which at this point, you know, anything better than the ratio I'm currently at It's one of those things that, and you know, to anyone listening, you know, I'm very open to blow this team up, and you know, Peter asked him in the chat, is anybody desperate? And I want to say I'm desperate, but you know, I kind of look at the combination of players that I've got, and you know, packaging a handful of them together for somebody who could make an impact, or if somebody needs some additional depth, I feel like there's some pieces there to be traded. But also, I even with this team have a little bit of I don't fall in love with this team the way that Ben falls in love with his team every year, and just can't ever get over himself to make a real trade. But by the same token, you know, I feel like there's maybe a couple pieces to move,
sure,
that are not that far, you know, that get me back to where I'm at least somewhat competitive instead of ending up sub 100, which, you know, I mean, sub 100 is kind of like not hitting it past the ladies' tees.
Sure. And, you know, okay. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And your projected score for this week is the highest it's been since your week one game. So it's not like you're just fully tanking and your team's going nowhere. You have the potential there to put up a decent score. And I've looked at, you know, potential trades with you before. And usually when I'm, you know, looking at trades, I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, you know, where does the other team have a hole to fill? You know, where can I kind of offer something that would be of value to them to fill a weak spot? And it's tough because it's like you haven't had a good team, but you don't really have a weak spot either. You've got, mm-hmm, you know, across the board kind of low double digit kind of players for all your running backs and wide receivers, and that's useful. It's, yeah, just it doesn't have the you know, you don't have the Kamara or the Gurley who's going to give you the spike week, you know, Matt, you know, in the 30-point score. So, yeah, I think that becomes the challenge. So, yeah, we will certainly hope for the best for you going forward. It'd be awesome to see you run the table and sneak your way in the playoffs, or at least spoil someone else's playoff hopes along the way.
Well, or at least not end up taking the SATs.
Sure, one way or the other.
The one year I finally get us to agree to, you know, having a penalty.
Oh, well done, you know, Andy.
Hey, it is what it is.
Let me encourage you, because I appreciate your attitude and your effort that you're making to, you know, from the draft and beyond, to really engage and do your best. If you were to take a snapshot of your team from this week, excluding the history of their performance this season, I would look at your roster as it stands right now going up against Jared, and I would say, man, Andy had a balanced draft position. Like, he went for a balanced draft, and again, not knowing what their performance has been record-wise or their projections, I would look at your team and go, yeah, I would pick this team if I was going for a balanced draft. And so it really does come down to the nuts and bolts of football. You can pick them, but if they don't put up the points in the game, then you don't win fantasy football. It's actually, I don't know if y'all know this, that's how fantasy football works. So good draft, and sorry that you've kind of been dealt the cards that you have, but I'm glad you've stayed with it and have a good attitude about it.
Well, hey, you know, I appreciate that. And also, you know, this year I am – you know, for the first time ever playing in a second league, at the office, which is interesting because, you know, I'm the boss in that league. And so people don't trash talk me or, you know, go too aggressively, but also there hasn't been a single trade done in the entire league, which has been super interesting. But the thing I have learned in kind of helping, you know, prompt and organize that league is exactly how much work Peter as commissioner and Seth as podcast extraordinaire, you guys put into this. So thank you guys for all the things you do to make the Pellwood Fantasy League the greatest league in the nation.
That is our goal. That is our greatest accomplishment in life. Mm. And
Pete has seven kids.
Take that to the grave.
Yeah. So
they all fall short of this.
And sound clip I'm sharing with them when I come for the holidays.
Good. Well, Andy, thanks for joining us on the air, man.
Absolutely, guys. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, Andy.
I hope his stock didn't take a dip.
No, it's perfect.
With my
That's perfect.
Botch of his intro.
Never pay for groceries.
Never pay for... Nope.
That's not it.
Basket does not endorse stealing groceries.
Kill, kill, kill. Wait, so you're saying this app tells me where which grocery stores have the worst security footage?
So much liability.
The fattest security guard and lack of camera.
All right. Well, Pete, with that, what do you say we get back into the swing of things? It's been a couple of weeks. We've had some scheduling ups and downs, but here we are. And man, I got to say, in the 2 weeks that we haven't gotten on the air, there's been a lot of action and a lot of unpredicted outcomes. I was not expecting the record standings to be what they are today. As you look at them, before we get into this week's matchups here, what would you say is the biggest surprise to you based on where we are here at the end of week 7?
For me, the biggest surprise to me is my record. Like, is that okay? Because
sure, I'll allow. Judges?
I'm 6-1. I mean, I'm 6-1, which sounds super awesome, but I do not feel like I have a 6-1 team. I feel like I've been very lucky. I mean, your record is 5-2, and you have made so many more headlines than me this season. I mean, it feels like every week you're in the middle of a, you know, come from behind win or a really close matchup, or you're putting up 230 points. You know, like every week, I feel like there's been something about your team that has been remarkable or extraordinary and worthy of note. And mine's just kind of puttering along. And, you know, Jared's been crushing people. I have the same record as him, but, you know, he has 111 points more than me. So I feel like I'm very fortunate to be 6-1. I think only with my points against schedule would I be 6-1. Anyone else, I'm like a 3-4 or 4-3 team. So it's been a that has been surprising to me. It's also been surprising to me that there's been a fairly clear top half and bottom half to the league point.
Yep.
And it can certainly change, and it feels like it's starting to shift a little bit already. With, you know, certain teams that are, you know, getting pulled back to the fray, and I'm sure I will be joining in that. I'm due for a few losses in a row, or a bunch of losses altogether. So, I feel like Ben's going to start getting pulled back into the fray a little bit. He was 5-1 last week, took a loss, and I think you'll see teams like Brock and Chris and Derek, who all sit at 3-4, and I think, you know, their teams are all at least as good as mine. They've scored about the same amount of points as me, or a little more than me. Derek has the most points in the league, and he's sitting at 3-4. So, I think the standings are going to change a lot by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And right now, there's, you know, the top six and bottom six, and I don't think it's going to stay the same. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, 2 or 3 playoff spots turnover by the end of the season.
Yep, I think those are some a good analysis there, Pete.
I'll ask you the same question. As you look at the lead where we stand today, any big surprises to you?
What's surprising to me is that I'm beginning to see a trend that, based on 2 seasons, it seems as if there is a curse afoot here, and that you don't want to have the most points for. Because if you have the most points for, you also have the most points against.
Which doesn't seem mathematically possible.
I don't understand it. And I was hoping you could shed some light on that. Is it a scheduling thing based on your tool that you're looking at? How is it that Derek, who has about 5 points more than anybody else and way more points than the majority of the league, in fact, it is only Derek, Jared, and myself who are sitting above 1,000 points for the season. How is it that Derek is only one of 2 people that has over 1,000 points against, the second of which being Scott Manawai, whose record is nowhere near the same? He's 2-5.
Yeah, I don't know, because so for Derek, for example, he has a 3-4 record. If he had Brock's schedule for the season, he would also have a 3-4 record. But if he had anyone else's schedule, his record would be 5-2 or 6-1.
Yeah.
Like he would be 2 games better than he is now if he had 10 other league managers' schedule.
Right. And which is why, like, I appreciate your words about me being in the headlines week to week. And yeah, I've got, you know, over 1,000 points for, but you can make the exact same argument. Like, I could be in the exact same boat that Derek is in based on that.
Yeah, if Derek had Michaels or Charles's schedule, he'd be 6-1. And then if he had eight other managers' schedule, he'd be 5-2. So, and having the most points for, you would expect to be on the lower end of points against because you're the one scoring the most points and you're not playing yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like Andy has the fewest points against, but he's only fourth in points. Or sorry, Andy has the fewest points for, but he's only fourth in points against. Whereas, you know, Derek has most points for and most points against. Second in points against is Chris Windsor, and he has the second fewest points for. Third in points against is Scott, and he has the fifth fewest points for. So those kind of make sense. Like Windsor, Scott, those make sense, but Derek having the most points against doesn't make sense, and right. Andy having the fourth most points against doesn't really make sense either. So it's quite the scheduling anomaly, and we saw it happen to Andy last year where he ended the season with the most points for and against and missed the playoffs because of it. Right. I actually meant to bring that up when we were talking to him earlier, just the, you know, the shift in dynamic for his team where he had the most points for last year, didn't make the playoffs, so he tried to go the other way and have the fewest points for this year and see if it would work out, and you know, the experiment has failed so far.
Yeah, I would like to ask him which he would prefer. Like, which outcome? Would he rather be 1-6, or would he rather miss the playoffs but have the most points for?
That's a good question. Oh,
too bad that I didn't think of it earlier.
You don't really get a benefit for tanking. You know, you don't get like a higher draft pick or anything next year. So, yeah. I think you always hope to have the more competitive team, or sure. You would always prefer to have the more competitive team. But certainly,
at least for pride's sake, yeah.
Certainly, it's more heartbreaking to have a good team and miss the playoffs than to just kind of feel like you're out of it around, you know, week eight or so. You can kind of throw in the towel and just run off the stream. So,
yeah. I'm curious. Do you have my what could have been schedule up? I'm curious to see how it would compare to Derek's. If I had Derek's schedule.
Yep. If you had Derek's schedule, you would also be 3-4, same as Derek.
Yeah.
Your and Derek's seasons have been intertwined in terms of, you know, you've been going head to head for top score of the week. You've been going, you know, neck and neck in different matchups. And last week, you were both in the same boat of needing a big comeback on Monday night. You got there by a fraction of a point, and Derek came up about 10 points short. So yeah, if you had Derek's schedule, you would also be 3-4, same as him.
Yeah.
And then if you had my schedule or Michael's schedule, you would also be 5-2. Everyone else, you'd be 4-3 or 3-4.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Schedules.
And it seems Brock has actually had the toughest schedule. If you had Brock's schedule, you'd be 2-5. And Derek was also going to be 3-4 if he had Brock's schedule as well. So, but it doesn't work the other way. If I plugged in Brock's name into my tool here, only with four teams would he have a better record than he does now. And actually, with Stott's record, with Stott's points against schedule, he'd be 1-6. So it's a funny world. Doesn't always go both ways.
I don't understand, man. That's fantasy football for you. There are factors we don't control.
If you could make a prediction, all right, say there are two playoff spots that flip. So right now it's Jared and me are 6-1. Ben's 5-2. You're 5-2. Chewy is 4-3. And then you've got, let's see, who I guess Derek would be in the sixth playoff spot at 3-4. With the points for tiebreaker. If there were two playoff spots that flipped out of that group, who would you say drops out and who would get in?
Okay. So of the top six that we assume would get in based on where we stand right now, that would be Jared, you, Derek, Ben, and Chewy. And me?
And you. Yep. And you. Yep.
All right. Honestly, I hate to say this before I play him this week because I might be eating some crow, but I could see Ben not making it out and flipping and possibly Chris being in Chris Windsor being in his place.
Okay. Yep.
And the reason being is that I think, well, Brock might be that alternative too. I remember arguing a couple weeks ago that Brock's schedule on the back half of the NFL gets a little easier in our matchups. And I think that Chris is actually picking up some momentum right now.
I agree.
And doing really well. So I could argue it both ways, but I think that Ben's momentum and his schedule are about to start hitting a wall.
I agree.
What do you think, Kamish?
I'm with you, actually. And I think, so if we're saying, like, if I had to choose two current playoff teams that would fall out, and two that replace them, I would pick Ben and Derek falling out and Brock and Chris Windsor replacing them. Mm-hmm. And the reason, so even though Derek has scored the most points to date, it's kind of like he hasn't made his hay while scoring a bunch of points.
Well said.
And so I would be assuming that, you know, his points for rate is going to fall off a little bit. And maybe his scheduling is a little easier, but he's not scoring so many points, so he's still not picking up those victories over the back half of the season. Whereas Ben has just been lucky with, you know, having the fewest points against and not being able to carry that forward mm-hmm. for a whole season. So I agree with you on Chris Windsor's team. He's heavy on the Patriots. He's got James White and Josh Gordon, and they're both looking really good and you know, are kind of leading his charge. Here the past week or two, he's projected for the second highest point total of this week, and I expect he'll be a very formidable team going forward. Mm-hmm. Certainly has plenty of juice in the tank to make a playoff run.
Yes, indeed.
I'm a little bummed for Charles. To be honest, I was sad that you won, even though it was an amazing comeback and really fun to kind of, you know, my phone was blowing up and I wasn't watching the game. I was watching a show with my wife. And it was very hard to be in the present because, you know, it was literally 50 messages on the group chat on that Monday night game as you you know, sealed the comeback victory. So I had some catching up to do. So it was a lot of fun. But I was certainly bummed for Charles because, you know, he started the season 0-4. He had won two in a row. He had put up a good score on you. Looked like he had a good shot at picking up that third victory in a row. And then he would be right there in the mix at 3-4. You know, Swish Factor win, you know, kind of cheering on the underdog. Right. So I'm bummed for him that he's at 2-5 now. He's not out of it. Neither is Michael. Michael also has a really good team for sitting at 2-5. You know, he's scored, the fourth most points in the league. So you can't count Michael out of it either. So I really think there's going to be a lot of swishing, a lot of turnover happening.
Yeah.
It really comes down to scheduling. And right. Who plays who what week the rest of the,
exactly.
the rest of the way.
That's exactly right. And I gotta confess to you, in answering your question, while I think that Ben may be losing momentum, I think that I have among the top most challenging schedules through the remainders of week 13 for the next. I could actually lose out the next six games because this week I'm playing Ben, who's 5-2. And that really could go either way. I think I'm projected a little higher than he is right now. But then the following week, I'm playing Brock, week 9, and Brock just put up 155 points this past week. The following week after that, I'm playing Chewy, and Chewy's been putting up board. And then after that, I'm playing Chris, and like we just discussed, Chris is actually on fire. And then I play you, who's currently 6-1, and then I finish this lovely regular season playing Jared at 6-1. And so I very well could, if I have subpar performances. Now, if I get above average performances, they are really above average. Like I hit home runs or nothing at all, it seems.
Right.
And so I still stand to make the playoffs with security. But at the same time, if I don't, or if somebody gets injured, I might walk out of here without another W. So I'll be very curious to see how the remaining 6 weeks of the season go.
That is a really strong point. Your schedule is brutal as we look at it. You know what's interesting? As you talked about your schedule, and I was looking at your points to date,
mm-hmm.
in your two losses this season, the average point total against you is 168,
mm-hmm.
which is the I think that's right. Probably need to double check that. No, it's not that high. It's something's off on my math. So, but anyway, you have the Jared's the only one who has a higher average score against in losses. So when you've lost, it's been to a big score.
Yeah.
And you certainly put up some big numbers yourself in wins.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. And this week was an accidental win. And so I very much could be done winning for the season. And that's not me pandering, because I don't believe that in my heart of hearts, because I think I'm going to beat Ben this week. But I do have a really tough schedule. And things need to click for the rest of the season, is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, so here we are pandering our way to 6-1 and 5-2 victories, saying that we're nervous about the rest of the season.
Heart of hearts.
Heart of hearts, that's where we are. We're nervous about the rest of the season. So suck it, everyone else.
Well, it's our podium. It's our podium.
All right. Let's talk about this week.
All right.
So talked a little about you and Ben. Your matchup. So why don't we go there first? It's a huge matchup. It might be the game of the week.
I think it is.
5-2. It's a big one. Big playoff implications either way.
Yep.
You are closely projected right now with a 2-point spread. As you look at the details of your teams, are you going with Case Keenum at quarterback?
Looks like it.
All right. Looks like it. Well, that's a bold strategy there. He did have a good week in Arizona last week.
No,
it seemed like a good week, but he didn't score very many points.
No.
So a better real life week than fantasy week. But
he had his lowest of the season.
In Kansas City, he'll certainly be throwing to try to keep up with the Kansas City offense.
That's
so
why I'm going with him, as I think it's going to be a shootout.
Understand it there, but I got to be honest, Seth, your team doesn't look like your team. So much. You got Keenum at quarterback. You got Jalen Richard at RB2. With the Zeke on bye, that's a big step down there. So this is certainly not your strongest showing. And Kamara's really split in time with Ingram now, which is a bummer for his value. So you got Alshon Jeffery playing at Jacksonville, so he'll be in Jalen Ramsey's coverage all Sunday. This is not setting up to be an awesome point total week for you. So. No. I understand your nervousness.
I know. So this is my hardest hit bye week for sure. In that I've got Zeke and Matt Ryan on the bench, and both of them have been, well, I say that Zeke has not been consistently lights out, but he's been consistently reliable. So but Matt Ryan has been consistently lights out. I mean, he's ranked number two right now?
Number two, yeah.
And so that hurts, and I'm rolling the dice with Keenum, and so there's a risk there. This is a tough week for me, and you look over at Ben's team, and Ben is fielding his team, and he's got Mark Ingram in. So anything that Alvin is not touching is not only non-points for me, but positive points for Ben.
Yeah, he is missing Julio Jones. So that kind of offsets you missing Matt Ryan a little bit, because same team there. This is a really bad week for buys, because I was looking at my team and I was like, I've got the bye week blues this week as well. I don't know why that is exactly. I guess I'm heavy on Atlanta and the Chargers, and they're both on bye. But other than that, it's the Cowboys and the Titans. So it's not like all the offensive firepower. It's not like the Rams and the Patriots and the the Packers and all those teams are on bye. It's really just the Falcons and the Chargers. So certainly hitting some teams hard with the bye weeks. You and I are both right there. So this one's going to be one in the trenches. Whose backup role players are going to play the best in this one? Will be interesting to see.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't feel great about it.
I mean, I don't feel great about Ben's team either. The one thing that he probably can hang his hat on is Rob Gronkowski, if he's healthy enough to play.
Sure.
In Buffalo, he has a strong track record of being awesome in Buffalo, because it's like close to his hometown, and so they just help Gronk have a good Dame for his hometown fans, I guess. So they throw him the ball a lot. So if he does play, then you're sitting in good shape. But that's a Monday night game. So if he plays, that's great for Ben. If he doesn't play, Ben will be up a creek without a paddle.
Right.
Because he'll be sitting around waiting for Monday night. And what's he going to do? Like start Charles Clay from Buffalo?
Yeah. I'm also surprised he's going with two tight ends this week, too. I wouldn't be surprised if he swaps Olsen out for one of his wides and just to get a little bit more action there in his flex. But I don't know.
Possibly, but then he's going all in on Gronkowski playing on Monday night, so
that's tough
to do. Yep. Having Gronk in the flex does give him more flexibility for if he doesn't play.
That's true.
So he might be locked into two tight ends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because of the scheduling, Gronk is on Monday night. That's right.
Yep. So not great matchups, really for either team. You're both projected in the low 120s. That feels about right. Mm-hmm. Then this is a coin flip.
This is the game of a low scoring game of the week, but
a low scoring game of the week has a higher probability of being a true game of the week.
That's true.
When we've looked at the high scoring, we're like, oh, these teams are both going to score 170 points. Absolutely. Like that doesn't happen. That never happens.
And it makes every little extra point or extra long pass or whatever it is all the more valuable. And so watching is more interesting too.
Yep. Yeah, so this one, it's gonna be like someone's going to win 120 to 115, and that's really interesting. And then if you get, a 60-yard touchdown from someone, then that feels much bigger than in a high-scoring matchup, really.
Yep, agreed. All right, well, let's hop over to coming out of the game of the week. Maybe we should hit the probably not game of the week. And that would be the 1-6 Andy Elwood with respect to him going up against Jared, 6-1. Currently, Jared is projected at 25 points higher than Andy, who's at his highest projection in a while at 125. I see Andy hitting that this week and that being good for him. But I also see Aaron Rodgers doing really well this weekend, and that is going to carry Jared into a high score. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say Jared's the top scorer of the week.
Yeah, it's tough to look at Jared's team, especially this week, and see it going any other way than him rolling over Andy. So he doesn't really have any big injury concerns. That is tight end as a questionable tag on him. But other than that, there's no injuries here. He's got a couple of solid three down running backs. He's got Adam Thielen, who's the number one overall wide receiver, now going against,
and he's going against New Orleans, which is going to be
the worst
friggin fish in a barrel.
The worst secondary in the league so far. So
he's gonna roll over him.
Yeah so this one's set up really nicely for Jared to continue
this one's his to lose. We'll say that, Jared.
Of course, we're wrong all the time, but I mean, how can you look at it and say it's anything else?
If we're wrong on this one, then I'm going to say, wow, something weird happened.
If we're wrong on this one, it's because like James Conner and Adam Thielen both got hurt.
Right. I'm about to say it is week 8 and Aaron Rodgers is due for a career.
Really strong deja vu flashbacks to the second week of the playoffs last year, because this looks just like my matchup against Brock last year, which I ended up losing.
You did have a lot of confidence that week two of the playoffs.
And like Andy has Robbie Gould as his kicker, who Brock had as his kicker in that week, and when he kicked 7 field goals and scored 24 points.
I remember.
And Jared has the number one overall wide receiver, and I had the number one overall wide receiver, and he got hurt in the second quarter and scored 4 points. I mean, like, there's a lot of just bad memories coming back to me right now. Let's move on to the next game.
Fair enough. Man. I don't blame you for that at all. I'm glad you noticed that.
I just clicked on a team.
It's remarkably similar. just
we're
at random.
About Chewy and Derek.
Okay.
Different matchup, right. Chewy and Derek. I'm judging off this. It's PTSD from last year. It's hit me hard.
The only reason, that Ben and I are ranked as the game of the week, like as you said, is because we're lower projected and therefore maybe a little bit of higher stake going into our 5-2, up 5-2. But a secondary candidate for game of the week this week would be Chewy and Derek.
Absolutely.
Chewy's 4-3 Derek's 3-4, as we discussed. Derek has had a monster team with high points, but has a scheduling fluke. So this is really a must win for Derek. And then Chewy, who kind of got off to a slow start, has gained some momentum, and I could see this game going either way. They are currently both projected in the 140s, only a couple points spread apart. So ESPN at least thinks they're going to have high scoring games, the both of them. You got Derek with Patrick Mahomes up against Denver. Should be a shootout there. Saquon Barkley has been on fire, like absolutely on fire. Who'd have thought that Adrian Peterson would not be that this year? Juju Smith-Schuster has also been a solid wide receiver, really a good wide R1 option, surprisingly, and same with Mike Evans. So, you know, if one of them falters, the other one makes up for it. And even then, Jarvis Landry has been lights out. So he really has. I mean, I would be happy on a bye week like this starting any one of those wides as my starter. And he's got all three of them, 1, 2, 3. So I don't think there's a better wide core in our league than Derek's. And then he's got Jordy Nelson in his flex. So Jordy is kind of a touchdown or bust kind of guy, but when he gets those touchdowns, he's putting up points. So I like Derek's team this week a lot. What do you think of Chewy's team this week?
I think you're right. These two really strong teams. You know, I like the way Derek set up with Mahomes at home against Denver. Should be able to do just about whatever he wants there, and just like he's done all year. Chewy's got a really good setup this week as well. Stafford at home is a better play than Stafford on the road. Mixon is kind of a light version of these three down running backs like Gurley and Le'Veon of old. Good matchup at home against Tampa Bay. Cincinnati should be putting up a lot of points. Mixon should be involved there. He's healthy then. He's got Kerryon Johnson, who came on really strong last week for Detroit, establishing the run game there. I like his wide receivers too. I think they rival Derek's actually. He's got T.Y. Hilton, Emmanuel Sanders, and Brandon Cooks. Those are all really strong plays, and especially in the matchups that they're in this week. So there's a lot to like about Chase's team as well. I understand why both these teams are projected really highly at in the low 140s, and really big game. I'm cheering for Derek just to put both these teams at 4-4, but it could go either way.
Yep, this might be a better candidate for game of the week now that I'm looking at it, only because I think this one will be more of the fun who's going to go bigger shootout as opposed to who's going to perform as one would hope, and that's what's going to happen in mine and in Ben's game. But so for what it's worth, guys, I'll be watching your game closely. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely one to watch. I think that your record's 5-2 for you and Ben.
It's right, tipping point.
More pivotal. Well, this one probably has bigger implications in terms of who's in, who's out of the playoff picture. So a lot to like about both matchups.
That's right. Plenty to cheer. That's right. Well, down but not out, Chris Windsor this week going up against Scott Manawai. He is currently 3-4 coming off the win this weekend. Scott putting up the loss, but could have gone either way. I look at their current board right now, and Scott has yet to fill a couple of what I would call key positions, including quarterback, running back, tight end, and flex, whereas Windsor is already staffed up on his team. So it's hard to compare apples to, rocks, I don't know, non-fruit currently. But the Chris's team is projected again with a pretty high score this week, 141.9 points. And so as it stands right now, Scott's looking at 74.1. So really not fair to compare. But I will say Christian McCaffrey has been a stellar running back as a starter there. James White has been a stellar running back. I mean, he's really borderline RB1. AJ Green hasn't put up less than, 17? Well, that's not true. He had one bad week in Carolina where he didn't get a touchdown, and he still did fine. But Chris's team looks really good. And as I look at it, I go, well, how come he's losing so much? And I go back to the scheduling thing, and there has to be some some scheduling fluke inside that, because his team, especially this week, it looks really good. So what do you think about it?
Yeah, he's building steam. You know, like I said, with James White and Josh Gordon, they've kind of turned the Patriots offense around, and that's been a little bit because of injuries. You know, obviously the trade for Josh Gordon was huge, but James White is just, he's been the most consistent, like outside of Todd Gurley, he's been the most consistent fantasy player all season. He catches like six or seven passes per game. You know, there's some easy yardage there, the way they use him out of that backfield. I mean, what a oversight by the lead to let Chris draft him for $2. I was excited about Tevin Coleman for $2, but you know, at the time of the draft, it was like, well, the Patriots have like four running backs. You can't, you know, invest too much in any of them. But clearly James White has risen, you know, in the kind of pass catching running back role, which is so valuable now. And he's just,
it's making the season for us, man. I'm telling you, we said it from the get go.
Yep.
Pass catching running backs. Actually, what we said was like, you know, bass patching, cabbage patching. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, when Chris has won this season, he's been really good. He scored 157 points in his victories this season. But when he's lost, he's been really bad. He scored 103 points. So it's been a very Jekyll and Hyde season for Chris. That's the third most points scored in wins. That's even more than Jared has averaged in his wins. But that's the second fewest points in losses. So in four losses this year, averaging 103 points, that's pretty bad. But I think he is over his losing ways in the same way, just because his team looks really strong now, you know, all throughout. And so I think we won't see such floor weeks from Chris going forward.
In his defense, he does have the second most points against in the league.
That is a good point. Okay, circling back with you, I fixed my spreadsheet.
Okay.
Real quick.
Yeah.
You have scored more points in games that you've lost than you have scored in games that you've won. Or you've averaged more points in games that you've lost than in games that you've won.
Well, I've only lost two games, so that...
Yeah, but you scored 166 points on average in the games that you lost. And then in the games that you've won, you've averaged 145 points.
That's crazy.
That's a pretty big drop. It's 20 points lower.
That is surprising, considering I have the third most points for in my, you know, a league topping score on record. I would think that 230 would have brought me up a little bit. It's because it's not 233 because I got robbed. I robbed a field goal, man.
Yeah.
Still bitter about whatever that stat correction was.
Yeah. No one's going to feel sympathy for you on that.
I know. I'm a man on an island. All right. Well, that takes us to Brock's matchup this week, going up against Michael Fitz. Michael seems to be on a downward spiral. Brock, however, is looking good coming off of a high-scoring week this past week. However, he currently does not have a defense set in his roster. And right now he's got the Houston kicker on his bench as well. I'm sure he'll slide him over and look to pick up a defense before tomorrow night. Not a ton available on the waiver wire after this week. On the flip side of the coin, Fitz is also lacking his WR2 position as well as his flex, as Mike Williams has gone on by. And has Austin Eckler needs to be replaced, but he does have a few options. Most of his guys that were on by from Green Bay last week are his starters, so he'll pop those in. But I think having Green Bay back in this week, as he's pretty, you know, heavy dependent on him, like Cooper Kupp and Jared Goff, he's gonna have more points than he probably needs to be competitive. This one is interesting. I think that Fitz is going to win this one once he fixes his roster.
Yeah, you kind of look at it and really it's hard to look past Todd Gurley on Michael's team because Gurley is so good and he's such a big advantage over any other running back. He is not scored fewer than 25.6 points in a game this year. He has 4 weeks over 30 points. I mean, it's insane. So you just keep riding Gurley, and it just puts such a strong foundation to your team to have that kind of performance. So it's hard to make a mistake when you can build around that. Though I do like Brock's team this week. I think David Johnson's starting to have a little bit of a rebound after
I hope so. That's
some suboptimal performances so far this year. And you know, Tariq Cohen is on a tear over the past couple weeks for Brock, starting to get more playing time and really doing something with it. He's been over 20 points in 3 weeks in a row, so that's a nice surprise. He was kind of a bench player for Brock until he was forced to play him because of bye weeks. And he popped off for 30 points and then has put up 20 in the last 2 weeks. So that's good. He's got Phillip Lindsay in Denver, who should be the starting running back this week now that Royce Freeman is out. And he can also, Phillip Lindsay can also catch some passes. So that's a good addition for Brock's team. So I think.
And he's got the number one tight end.
Yeah, he's not the number one tight end. Tough matchup in Jacksonville, but number one tight end for Ertz has been awesome. So I think Michael has the more stars and scrubs kind of team with his Rams at the top and then everyone else kind of around it. And Brock is a stronger base throughout the team. So it kind of depends on how Michael's scrubs do. If they pop in the week, he'll probably take this one home. But otherwise, I think I would go with the strong core that Brock has.
That's right. All right. We shall see. That takes us over to, last but not least, the one we've all been waiting for. The, hey, why don't you come play fantasy football with me, Bowl?
Yeah, and, you know, sorry, Charles. Welcome to the league. Your team looks way better than mine, but I'm 6-1 and you're 2-5.
Yeah.
So
how does that work out?
I don't know.
I want to reflect back to the post-draft podcast in this moment where we were talking about how afraid we were and where did this guy come from? And oh my gosh, he spent all this money and what a terrible draft. And he totally disrupted everything we ever thought we knew about the auction draft because he did it totally against the grain. And yet his team is this formidable. Do you think that his current record validates our thoughts of surprise or at least our confusion from 8-9 weeks ago? Or do you think it was a scheduling fluke and that his record shouldn't be what it is today? Basically, what I'm asking you is, if you erased his record as it stands right now, do you still believe he's the same team that he was coming out of the draft?
I think he is. He's put up, good scores the last 3 weeks, averaging 145 points or so. It's kind of like he's just in a bad slump at the start of the season. Antonio Brown wasn't being Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't really being Ben Roethlisberger. Things are starting to turn around a little bit. And I think, Kareem Hunt especially, started slow with like 5 points and 15 points. And then the last 4 weeks, he's had some, 30-point weeks, three out of the last 4 weeks, essentially. So his team has kind of turned the corner. I think he is a much more formidable team. Another team that could certainly move up the standings, sitting at 2-5 now. I would put him ahead of Scott and right there with Michael in terms of the ability to field a good team, sitting at 2-5, not out of the playoff picture at all. This definitely has the possibility of being one of those weeks where I give back and take a loss, as he is now projected for an 18 points higher than me. I'm hurt at running back. I've got Melvin Gordon on bye. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is still not back, so my running backs are pretty weak. And I'm kind of resting this week is all on Stefon Diggs just going nuts against New Orleans.
Right.
It's about the best shot I've got.
Right, and that very well may happen. The actual NFL game I'm excited to watch this week because of its implications in multiple games, including this one, is the Denver Kansas City game. Kareem Hunt has been the stud for Charles. He's been up there, I think, probably scoring, if not the throughout the outlier in game one. I think he's been either paced with Kamara or better than. Demaryius Thomas should get a lot of touches this week if it's a shootout, like I hope it is. He's got Travis Kelce on the other side of the ball, who that's been the number two tight end in the league this year. So I'll just be really, really curious to see the outcome and to see the outcome of that game. because I think that that game is going to determine not only this matchup, but mine as well.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of really key fantasy games
New
this
Orleans
week.
Being the other one.
New Orleans and Minnesota is definitely a big one as well. Pittsburgh and Cleveland is kind of like surprisingly a big one too, because Cleveland has quite a few fantasy relevant players now.
Yeah, that's the better option than Brady up against Buffalo.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. So there's a few games with some big opportunities for points to be scored. The Rams and the Packers. Anytime the Rams are in a game, you know there's gonna be a bunch of points scored there. So we've seen a bunch of players from the Bengals and Bucks game as well. I mean, there's some big opportunities out there for points this week. So
yeah,
it might be another one of those high scoring weeks, and just hope you catch that gravy train as it comes through.
Kudos to you for snagging Marlon Mack, I'll tell you that. But yeah, New Orleans for you is going to be big. Diggs is going to be, this is his time to shine, man. He's going to help you out. Now's the chance to do
it. Yeah. I've got some very thin plays in my lineup this week. You know, like I said, bye weeks hit me hard with the Chargers on bye and the Falcons on bye.
Yep.
I'm probably going to be starting Kenjon Barner if Sony Michel is out for the Patriots, and I expect he will be out for the Patriots. So that's like just hoping that the Patriots get up huge on Buffalo and score a bunch of points, and Barner just gobbles up like four goal line touchdowns, which has happened before. I don't need four. I'll take one or with 50 yards or two. That would be great. But it's not incredibly likely that's going to happen. So I've got some thin plays. I could build a story around, oh, this is how I'm going to win, and not likely to pan out. So I had a bit of a spike week last week, and it wasn't even that impressive. But Marlon Mack and John Brown both put up huge points for me last week, and I still only scored like 133 as a team. So I'm not in a good way right now, and hoping for Le'Veon Bell to come back. And
that was my next question.
At least be some kind of a contributor here, but yeah. I'm nervous. I don't, he's not going to be the Le'Veon I thought I was getting when I drafted him, because he's almost guaranteed to split time with James Conner when or if he comes back.
Yeah, and I was curious to know your thoughts on Bell after all this time. We hadn't checked in on it in a while, and I still have beef that you can keep him in your IR slot. I think that is cheating.
Well, he's not moving.
Well, I know.
And I'm scared that if I ever like take him out of there, he'll lose the eligibility.
Yeah. They probably fixed that.
Oh no! What do I do? What do I do?
They corrected that error after the first week. You just haven't been able to let it refresh.
No, I have to drop somebody. No.
Yeah. Well, man, big week ahead here in week 8. A lot of playoff implication.
Yeah, it's about that time. It's moving season. We'll have the trade deadline coming up in 3-4 weeks, and the playoffs will be right around the corner.
That's right.
It's flying by.
I predict that the sixth hole of playoffs is going to be a bloodbath to get to.
It is certainly shaping up that way.
Love the action. Love the drama. Wouldn't expect anything less, because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world. And this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Why don't you bounce that question back to me? What do you think, Seth? Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but
Sorry. No, I'll get there. I was lost in the standings to see if there's anything I could like trigger you with. No. But I'll throw it back to you now. So
this feels patronizing. Brought to you by Basket. Never again pay for groceries. Download the latest app. Never overpay for groceries again.
Is that the copy they gave you? You gotta like the way Derek set up with Mahomes at home against Denver. Should be able to do just about whatever he wants there, and just like he's done all year.
Would you say that Patrick has a Mahomes game?
Yeah, but I don't think he's not limited to just at home. He's actually scored more on the road than at home, which is interesting. But
yeah, no, I said Mahomes game.
See, I heard that the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to just blow right past it. No. Anyway, trying to do you a solid there.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
But I appreciate you doubling down.
That's all right. I'll just cut it all out.
It's hard to do a podcast with you when you just say you're going to cut it out every time. You know?
Well, that's cost of doing business. I got all the power.